Let us turn to the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And I would not want to keep you too long. Our Lord Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And this is a text I would like to consider with you. This is a very short and simple text. However, when we look at it more carefully, it is a very large text and so full of meaning that I will not have sufficient time to really expound it all to you. The words are few indeed, but the thoughts suggested are very many. In this text, in just these three words, "Lovest thou me?" In fact, in the Greek, it is only one word. The words are few, but it has many thoughts, and there are subtle meaning to it also. And so it is well worth for us to consider and meditate upon it, and to follow through. May the Spirit of God prepare our hearts as for our meditation and impress this truth upon each one of us. Firstly, let us take very careful note that our Lord Jesus asked Peter whether he had a love to his person. The question or the inquiry Jesus is making is not concerning Peter's love to the kingdom of God or the people of God, but it begins and ends with Peter's love to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jesus did not ask, "Do you now understand these warnings that I have given you to watch and pray, to be sober, to be vigilant?" No. Neither did Jesus say, "Will you henceforth right now cease? Stop your self-confidence and take heed to my admonitions." It is not even, "Do you believe my doctrines?" No, Jesus did not say that or ask that or inquire from Peter an answer to such question. "Do you not trust me whom the other day you denied?" No, these matters are not brought under the question, but the one inquiry is this: "Lovest thou me?" The gist of the question is, have you a personal attachment for me, to my very self? That is the gist of Jesus' question or inquiry to Peter and also to us. Do you have a personal attachment for me, to my very self? He calls Peter by his own unconverted name, Simon, son of Jonas. And this is to remind him of what the grace of the Lord Jesus has done for him. And then he asks only about his love. The question deals with personal attachment to a personal Christ. And that is my sole subject I would like to consider with you, brethren. Notice that our Lord Jesus very wisely, very tenderly and lovingly questioned Peter about his love in plain, simple, set terms. There was no beating about the bush. He went straight to the point, for it is not a matter of ambiguity or doubt. Jesus did not, and I took note of this as I meditated upon it. Jesus did not chide nor rebuke Peter for having denied him thrice. Did you notice that? How gracious, merciful, and tender our Lord Jesus. No doubt, repentance is a very blessed grace and very needful for Jesus, for Peter. But it was wiser, as we see in the wisdom of Christ, it was wiser to look at once to Peter's love. Because it is quite certain that if a disciple loves his master, he will deeply grieve for ever having denied him. The Lord Jesus did not even ask Peter as to his faith, which might well have been put under question, for Peter have with oath said, "I know not the man." Remember, when that damsel asked Peter, "You are one of them," and he made an oath. But yet Jesus did not question his faith. It would have been a highly important question to ask Peter, but it was answered when Peter avowed his love. For he who loves, believes, and no man can love a Savior in whom he does not believe. The Lord Jesus, in mercy, in tenderness, concentrated every other point into this one inquiry. It is sufficient. Need not rebuke or chide Peter for denying Christ. Need not. All this is wrapped up in one simple question: lovest thou me? That is sufficient. That is sufficient. Let us, brethren, learn from this fact that one thing is needful. Love to Jesus is the chief, the vital point to look to. So as we examine this text in greater detail and to draw out some spiritual lesson, it is needful to turn this question to ourselves and ask, do I truly love Jesus? Have I a deep attachment to His person? I intend to press this inquiry to my own soul and to yours this afternoon, as if the Lord Jesus is right now standing before us in tenderness and lovingly ask each one of us again, lovest thou me? I think it do us a lot of good before we rush into the new year as we approach. Take this time, this holiday season, so to speak, where you are relieved of your work for the next few days and preparing yourself for the new year. Take this time to ask and to reflect on this. Do I truly love my Savior, the Lord Jesus? May the Lord grant us grace to make a very solemn inquiry as to this matter, and to bear honest witness, and to give a true deliverance, which shall be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Let us begin. Our first consideration of this inquiry reveals the absence of love for Christ from our hearts. The absence of love for Christ from our hearts. When we soberly examine our hearts in the light of Scripture, we find that love to the person of Christ may be absent from our hearts. We may not like what is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, yet what is revealed is true, most certainly true. Even in our hearts, there may be no love to Christ. Even though we engage ourselves in so many Christian activities or doing things that a Christian normally do, but yet deep down in our hearts, there may be no love to the Lord Jesus. I know of nothing which can screen any of us from the necessity of the question. Our spiritual gifts and Christian graces may prevent our fellow brethren or believers questioning us, but nothing should prevent our questioning ourselves For certainly there is nothing which will prevent the Lord Jesus himself from asking us again, lovest thou me? Are we professors of the Christian faith? Are we constant in attending to outward form of worship? Do we enter very heartily into all the public exercises of God's house? Yes, but there are thousands of people that do that. Thousands, hundreds of thousands who do that every Lord's Day, even celebrating Christmas and all the other special days of the Christian faith like the Good Friday and Easter, and yet they do not love Christ. My brethren, are there not multitudes of people wrapped up in forms and ceremonies? Do we not see that in many churches? Do we not see that in the lives of many so-called Christians? If the service pleases the eye and the ear, are they not quite content? Love to the person of Christ has not occurred to the mass of avowed worshippers of Jesus. There are those, as you know, from your own observation, there are those to whom the end all and be all of religion is an orthodox statement of doctrine. So long as the preaching is according to the confession of faith and every word and act is piously correct, the worshippers are well pleased. But no love to Jesus ever stirs and warms their hearts. Religion to them is not an exercise of the heart at all. It is mere brain work and hardly that. They know nothing of the living soul going out towards a living person. They know nothing about a bleeding heart knit together to another bleeding heart. A life subsisting on another life and filled with it. They know nothing of that. What is orthodoxy without love? It is but a catacomb to bury dead religion in. What is orthodoxy without love? It is a cage without a bird. The haggard skeleton of a man out of which the life has withered. I'm afraid, brethren, and I'm sure you will agree with me as we look around us, in this country and in many other places throughout the world, that the general current of church life runs too much towards externals and too little towards deep, burning love to the person of Christ. So therefore, as we think of this point, if this is true of this church, oh, brethren, may the Lord have mercy upon us and let us repent. And let us pray and seek the Holy Spirit help to rekindle that first love in our hearts for our Lord Jesus before it is too late. Before we stand before Him on that day of reckoning. Brethren, it is often necessary and needful for all of us to put this question to ourselves. Lovest thou me? Because there are other points of doctrines beside the emotional. Man is not all heart. He has a brain, and the brain is to be consecrated and sanctified also. It is therefore right that we should study the Word of God and become well instructed in the kingdom of heaven. We see Peter went to college 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ as his tutor, and he learned a great deal from a great teacher. But after he had been through that 3.5 years of study, his master, before he sent him to his life work, felt it needful to inquire, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Brethren, Christian believers, you know, you may turn over the pages of your Bible, You may digest doctrine after doctrine. You may even be willing to spend your own money and time and energy to go for 4 years of seminary study and to learn the original language of Biblical Hebrew and Greek. You may take up theological propositions and problems. You may work hard to solve this difficulty and expound that text and meet other questions till somehow or other, you know what? Somehow or other, though you spend so much time and effort in the Word of God, somehow or other, the heart grows as dry as the leaves of autumn. The bookworm feeds on the soul as well as the paper, eating its way into the spirit. Therefore, it is a spiritually healthy thing for the Lord Jesus to come into our study, particularly for those in the full time, and not only for the full time pastors and ministers, but for every Christian to come into our study and close your book and say to you, sit down still a while and let me ask you. Let the Lord Jesus ask each one of us. Close all our books and our studies and our Bibles. Lovest thou me? Do you truly love the Lord Jesus? I now turn to the second consideration of this text. The love of Christ from our hearts is a true confession. The love of Christ from our hearts is a true confession. Dear friends, it is not possible that for a man to be a Christian who does not love Christ. I repeat, it is not possible for that man to be a Christian who does not love Christ. Take the heart away and life is impossible. Your very first true hope of heaven came to you, how? By the Lord Jesus, if it ever did come at all. Brethren, you heard the gospel, but the gospel, apart from Christ, was never good news to you. You read your Bible, but the Bible, apart from the personal Christ, was never anything more than a dead letter to you. You listen to many earnest sermons, messages. You study and attend Bible studies and Sunday schools, but they all fell on the deaf ear until the Lord Jesus Christ in tender mercy came and touched you and compelled you to come in. Christian believers, the first gleam of comfort that ever entered your heart flare up from where? Flash out from the wounds of the Redeemer Jesus. You have obtained pardon. Where that it came from? That pardon was through His blood. You have been clothed in righteousness, but He is the Lord of your righteousness. He is Himself your glory and your beauty. You have been cleansed for many sins by conversion, but it was the water from His raptured side which washed you. You have been made the child of God, but your adoption was through Christ, whom you are made heirs of God. The blessings of the covenant of grace are none of them separate from the Lord Jesus Christ and cannot be enjoyed apart from Christ, any more than light and heat can be divided from the sun. All blessings come to us Christian believers from His pierced hand, and hence, if we have received them as from the Lord, we must love the Lord Jesus. It is not possible to have enjoyed the golden gifts of His unbounded love without being moved to love Him in return. Not possible. You cannot walk in the sun without being warm, nor receive of Christ's fullness without being filled with gratitude. Therefore, answer the query yourself, but answer it with deliberation. answer it conscientiously, as though you stood before the bar of Christ, who now so tenderly inquires of you, "Lovest thou me?" Our third consideration is this: the love of Christ from our hearts in preparation for our future. For our future home. We have not finished life yet. By the grace and mercy of the Lord, our pilgrim journey may possibly be for some time here. Perhaps some faster, some longer. But whatever it is, we still have our pilgrim journey to travel. Now all will go right if we love Christ. But nothing can proceed as it should be if love to Jesus be absent. Our life on earth without the love of Christ, our life on earth as we have studied the book of Ecclesiastes, without God, is vanity of vanity. Futile. For instance, you see here, Peter is called to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. But Peter's first qualification is to love Christ. The Lord Jesus, in commanding Peter to feed his lambs and his sheep, is not to see whether he has the proper paper qualification. And Jesus does not so much inquire about Peter's knowledge or his spiritual gifts of utterance, of eloquence, of his preaching skill, as about his love. For the first, second, and third qualification of for a true pastor, it is true also of every Christian, is a loving heart. A loving heart. That is the first qualification, the second qualification, and the third qualification of a true minister and of a true Christian. Love. A loving heart. Love is essential, my dear brethren. You cannot worship and serve Christ if you do not love Him. In whatever service you render to the Lord Jesus, whether as a pastor, Bible study leader, Sunday school teacher, or in any other service, serving the Lord in whatever capacity, if it is done without love to Jesus, it is not glorifying to God. Therefore, brethren, may I suggest, put down your tools, put down all your equipments, for you cannot work profitably for the Lord Jesus or in His vineyard unless your heart loves Him. If you do not love the Master, you will not love His work, you will not love His people, you will not love your fellow servants, you will not love the rules of His house, and the true church can do better without you than with you. To have an unloving worker grumbling about the Lord's house and vineyard would be distressing to the whole family of God. Love must be in the heart, or true service cannot come from the hands. Love is the great inspiring force. Many service in the Christian life is impossible to everything but love. In serving Christ, you come across a great difficulty, far too great for judgment, far too hard for prudence, and unbelief weighs you down. Then what happens? But if you have true love for Christ, that love, that mighty love, and with that, you smile at the impossibility and accomplish it for your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Love can overcome all the difficulties and the troubles and the pressure. Love breaks through troops. Love leaps over walls. And hand in hand with faith, love is all but omnipotent. No, not only that. Through the power of God which is upon her, love can do all things for Jesus Christ, her Lord. If you lack love, your energy is gone. The force which nerves the man and subdues his foes is lacking. without love, brethren, you are without the transforming force. I repeat, without love, the love of Christ in your heart, you are without the transforming force. Love to Christ is that which makes us Christ-like. Love to Christ is that which makes us Christ-like. The eyes of love, like windows, let in the Savior's image, and the heart of love receives it as upon a sensitive plate until the whole nature bears its impress. You are like that which you love, or you are growing like it. You desire to be Christ-like, and you pray to be Christ-like, to have Christ's form in you. Then ask and plead for the Holy Spirit to fill you more love for Jesus. If Christ be love, you are growingly become like Him. But without love, you will never bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, let us plead, brethren, let us pray that the Spirit of God will work that in our hearts, that the Spirit of God with wings of love will rule over us till Christ is formed in us. There is another reflection I like to bring up. Without love to Christ, we lack what? We lack the perfecting element. We are to be one with Him soon, in glory. Is it not promised to us? We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Perhaps for some of us, soon, in a few more weeks or few more months, none of us can tell how few, we shall be in glory. Yes, you and I are in union with the Lord Jesus, our resurrected Savior. Many of us shall be wearing the white robes and bearing the palm branches. Soon, soon we shall be with the Lord Jesus. As we see the various events that are happening around us in this country and all over the world, soon, brethren, we shall put on the white robe. And then we shall keep no more reckoning of days, for we shall be where time shall be forgotten in the eternity of ages. But, however, if we have not loved to Jesus, we shall not be where Jesus is. There are none in heaven that have not first learned to love Jesus here on earth. I repeat, there are none in heaven that have not first learned to love Jesus here on earth. So we must have love to Jesus. The future imperatively demands it. And therefore, I put the question with you with greater seriousness and pointedly. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In closing, and this being my last sermon to you for this year, I put one final question to you. If you are able to say you do love Jesus, just as Simon Peter did, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. If you, like Peter, can say that from your heart, then I want to ask you one final question. What shall you do next? Well then, if we do love Jesus, let us, brethren, each one of us who are in Christ, who love Jesus, do something for our Lord Jesus directly. For the Lord Jesus replied to Peter the moment he said, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Very kind it was of the Savior, because he knew from his own heart that wherever there is love, there is a desire for worship and service. Wherever there is true love in the heart of a Christian, There is a desire for worship and service.
Because Jesus loved so much, therefore it became his meat and his drink to do the will of his heavenly Father who sent him. Do you see that in the life of the Lord Jesus? Can you see that?
Brothers and sisters, if you love Jesus, do not idle away your God-given life, your God-given time, your God-given energy, your God-given spiritual gifts and talents, your God-given opportunity. If you love Christ, go. Go and worship Him. Get to work. Serve the Lord in whatever ways you can. By the way, as I said before, don't get me wrong. I am not asking you to take up an official position in serving the Lord. I mean more so in how you and I live our lives as a servant for the glory of God. So therefore, get to work. Serve the Lord. What are you doing? Attending to the means of grace and getting a good feed? Is that all you do, brethren? And that is good, of course, commendable. But here, the Lord Jesus asked Peter, or tell Peter, or commanded Peter, feed my sheep. A great many professing Christians give no proof of love to Christ except that they enjoy the sermons. But now, brethren, if you love Jesus Christ as you say you do, then prove it. Prove it by how? By doing good works to others. Proof by your life. First to those in the household of faith. Feed my sheep. Care for your fellow brethren. Care for those of in our numbers in need. Encourage them. The down and out. What will you do for your Savior? What have you done for Jesus this year? And what have you given? Or rather, have you given any thought of what you will do for the Lord Jesus next year? As this year is ending soon. Have you given thought about it? If you do not go now and feed his sheep and feed his lamb, it does not matter what you say or think you enjoy, you do not give proof of love which Jesus asked for. Feeding Jesus' lamb, feeding Jesus' sheep is not appointed only for the pastor or the minister. It is for all Christian believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, as we learn from Scripture, whatever your hands find to do, do everything out of love to Christ and for His glory. It will spread flowers over your work and make it look beautiful in God's eyes. Put love's finger to work. Put love's brain to work. Put love's eyes to work. Put love's hands to work. Think with love. Pray with love. Speak with love. Live with love. And in this way, brethren, you and I, who are in the Lord, will live with power. And God bless you for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank Thee once again for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Your Gospel of life. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that You have given us a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are to live this new life in Christ with meaning and purpose to the fullest for Your glory. O Lord, we confess that we are weak. So often we live for ourselves. So often, O Lord, we have no eternal value in view. So often we live for today. So often we have done all that we are doing without love to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us, O Lord, once again by Thy shed blood. Sanctify us. O Lord, may Your Holy Spirit continue to work in us and bring Thy truth. And this question, lovest Thou me, may Thou bring this question to our hearts again and again, that we may be reminded of Calvary's love. O Father in heaven, help us as we begin the new week, that Thou will go before us and go with us and help us in this new week, that we may live our lives that glorifies Thy holy name and enjoy Thee as light and salt of the earth. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.